senses, a person understands what is going on around him in the world. Through his hearing, through his smelling, through his sense of sight, a person understands whether there is danger nearby or there is benefit to be acquired. So a person's senses are invaluable. A person at times does not see danger, but he hears a gunshot. He hears a gunshot, he understands it's in a certain direction, he immediately goes in the opposite direction. Through his sense of hearing, he can save himself from harm. A person is at home and he can get the smell of gas. They understand that the gas stove is leaking. Through the sense of smell, this person is able to avoid danger. He'll switch off the stove. He will not light anything, otherwise he can explode and burn his entire home down. But from all the senses Allah Ta'ala gave us, a person is most reliant on the sense of sight. A person can hear, he can smell, he can touch, but he can't see. Then a person's life is very difficult. This person loses most of his independence. Now for him to just go from A to B, he needs somebody to take him and guide him. If a person cannot hear, he cannot smell, but he can see, then the person is still largely independent. He can see everything for himself. So a person is very reliant on what he sees. And when he sees something, he gains total conviction in it. That is why if a person wants to convince you about something, what will he say? He'll say, I saw it with my own eyes. I saw it firsthand. I've got no doubt in what I saw. But we find that a person should not believe anything that he sees. A person's eyes can be deceived. So a person saw something, it doesn't mean it's correct. He saw something, it does not mean he arrived at the correct conclusion. A person sees something, very often he is deceived into believing that which is not real. One person mentioned to me, his grandchildren are growing up in Dubai, very urbanized environment. So the children in school are asked by the teachers, where does milk come from? And 3/4 of the class said, milk comes from a bottle. They did not know that there's a makhluk of Allah called a cow. If they knew about the cow, they did not know milk comes from a cow. Because every morning when they're having that wheat bix, or whatever it is they're having, their eyes are telling them milk is coming from the bottle. They do not understand there's a whole hidden nizam and system behind this, of a farm and a dairy and a refrigeration system, until eventually this bottle and milk is on your table. If they just believe what they see, they reach the wrong conclusion. Sometimes we don't see enough to understand enough. And many things we will never understand, we will never be able to see in this world. Some things are reserved for the akhirat, we'll only see it there. Sometimes you don't see enough. Sometimes you see, but what you are seeing is designed to bluff and fool you. Like we see a person who gets married, and when he went to see the girl, everything looked just how he wanted. But after he gets married now, when he takes this girl home, the wig comes out, he realizes she's just as bald as he is. And then the false teeth come out and she got no teeth also. So he saw something, but what he saw was completely false as the teeth. So his eyes deceived him. And the purpose of mentioning all this is, as Muslims, our iman is not on what our eyes see. Our iman is on what? As a mu'min, we believe in the angels. We believe in Jannat and Jahannam. We believe in many things, all which relate to the unseen. What does the unseen mean? It means in this world, with our eyes, we will not see it. So we cannot wait to see things to believe. Rather, our iman is in the Quran and Hadith, the Mubarak words of Allah Ta'ala and the Mubarak words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person won't say, I need to see it to believe it. In fact, even if he sees opposites to the Quran and Hadith, he'll say, I saw wrong. The Quran and Hadith is right. Because these are the words of Allah and these are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala in the very, very beginning of the Qur'an Majeed, Surah Fatiha, next page Surah Baqarah starts. From the very beginning, Allah Ta'ala is teaching us this important lesson that as believers, you must believe in what you cannot see. On what basis? Because Allah said and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is enough for you. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ Allah Ta'ala says, هُدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ This Qur'an Majeed is hidayat for people of taqwa. Who are the people of taqwa? The first quality Allah Ta'ala mentions in the list of qualities, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ Those people who believe in that which they cannot see. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on the journey of Isra and Mi'raj. From Makkah Mukarramah to Baytul Maqdis, through the seven heavens, Sidratul Muntaha, and beyond, and returns to Makkah Mukarramah in just a few moments of the night. He informs the people of Quraysh the following day, this is the miraculous journey on which Allah Ta'ala took me last night. Today, in an age of jet travel, a person may think, okay, it's possible to go from Makkah to Baytul Muqaddas in one night and back, but through the seven heavens? Where could the people in those days believe it, when the average pace of travel was 30 kilometers a day? They couldn't imagine. How could this? In fact, that's also a large amount, a large distance to travel. So they came to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And they said, do you know what your friend Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know what he's saying now? Such preposterous, such absurd statements, na'uzu billah. He's saying in one moment of the night, he went from here to there and everywhere. Now what is the response of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu? He says, what's so hard to believe about that? He says things which are more difficult to believe, yet I completely accept everything that he says. He tells me that in the blink of an eye, the angel of Allah comes from the heavens to the earth with wahi and goes back. I believe everything that he says because he is the most truthful, he is the Nabi of Allah. It was on that occasion when Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was granted the title As-Siddiq. The one whose outer and inner, everything in his life is to do with truthfulness. He testified to the truthfulness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is a man who stood with the truth wherever he saw the truth. He only knew truth in his life. He never knew anything of batil and falsehood. He is As-Siddiq. As believers, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, and the Qur'an Majeed speaks about kiraman katibin, the angels who record our actions, one on the right shoulder, one on the left shoulder. A person can get the best spectacles, he won't see it. He can take a microscope, he won't see it. As believers, we have iman in Jannat and Jahannam. You can take electron microscope, you can take Hubble telescope, you can take all these advanced things. You can look at the moon, you can look at planets. But what Allah Ta'ala has kept in the ghaib, if he's not meant to see it in his life, he will not see it, but he must bring iman in it. He must bring iman in it because Allah Ta'ala told us about it and Rasulullah ﷺ told us about it, and that is the foundation of our iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala made it such, none of his male children survived. This was in the wisdom of Allah. When one of the sons of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha passed away, this child had passed away during the period of suckling. The child passes away. Sometime thereafter, perhaps 1 week, 2 weeks, however long it takes, the milk dried up. When the milk dries up, this is a reminder to the mother of the child that she lost. The milk was for who after all? It was for the child. Now that the milk has dried up, it's a reminder. It reignites the flames and those feelings of grief. So she mentions to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if only this child had lived long enough to be finished milk, be weaned, and then if he passed away, I would have felt a bit happy, my heart would have been a bit consoled, that at least my child finished drinking, finished the period, and then he went. This is a mother's heart after all. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions to her, if you wish, I will make dua to Allah. And Allah Ta'ala will allow you to hear his voice in Jannat. where Allah Ta'ala has appointed two wet nurses to look after him in Jannat. This child being in Jannat with two wet nurses is something of the ghaib, it's of the unseen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, if you wish, I will make dua to Allah and Allah Ta'ala will allow you to hear it. What does she say? She says, Bal usaddiqu Allah wa rasulah. She says, I don't need to hear it for myself. Rather, it is enough for me to bring iman in the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's enough for me. If Allah and His Rasul say it's like that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it's like that. What more do I need? I don't need to hear it myself. I don't need to see it myself. I don't need to rationalize it. I don't need logical proof behind it. This is what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. I have iman in it. Allama Suhaili rahmatullah alayhi, the very, very great mu'arrikh, alim of sirat, he comments in his kitab Ar-Rawdul Unuf. He mentions this is an indication of the very high level of intelligence of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, where she understood that iman in the ghaib is more rewarding compared to if you have to see it with your own eyes. Once the kuffar of the Quraysh, this is just a few years before the hijrah to Madinah Munawwara, they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what do they say? Show us a sign. We want to see with our own eyes. Show us a sign. If you show us a sign, we'll bring iman. The same person who persecuted them through all the years, subjected them to the worst forms of harassment and torture, piled every type of abuse upon them. Now they're saying, if you show us, we'll bring iman. What do they want to see? He said, split the moon in half. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, if I make dua to Allah and Allah splits the moon for you, will you bring iman? No, definitely we'll bring iman. Definitely. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua to Allah Ta'ala, and then with his Mubarak index finger, he gestures towards the moon. It was obviously nighttime. And the moon splits into two separate halves. Half going towards Jabal Abu Qubais, one mountain. The other half going towards Jabal Qayqa'an, another mountain. In other words, it was not even close. There was a significant distance between the two halves. It was not something that happened in the blink of an eye. The riwayat mentioned that these halves remained separated for the duration of time between Asr and Maghrib Salah. We're talking about at least 1 hour. And the people of the Quraysh are rubbing their eyes, opening again, trying to see anything different. Rubbing their eyes, looking away, looking back. And Rasulullah SAW is telling them, Ishhadu, that now bear witness, I've shown you what you want to see, Allah Ta'ala is showing you yourself. Yet they do not accept. They saw with their own eyes, but they do not accept. What do they say? They said, He has cast a spell of magic over us. This is sorcery, this is jadu. So what they say, see, if He has cast a spell of sorcery over us, then we can be affected. But people in another land won't be affected. Because He can do magic on us. He can't do magic on the whole world. So we'll wait for people traveling from other lands to come to Makkah, because we know the whole dunya got only one moon. If the moon split everywhere in the world, you'll see the split. Said, we'll wait and see all the travelers coming to Makkah in the following days and weeks, and we'll ask them, did they see it as well or not? When all these people came and informed them that yes, we saw the moon split at this day, this time, still they did not accept. Allah Ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran Majeed. اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرِ. The final hour of Qiyamah has drawn near. Our ummah, the last ummah, not much time left in the world until Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala says, وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرِ. The moon has been split asunder. وَإِيَّرُوا آيَةً. Even if they see a clear sign showing them the truthfulness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the deen of Islam and Allah Ta'ala being the creator, yu'ridu, they'll still turn away. وَيَقُولُوا سِحْرٌ مُسْتَمِرٌ. They say, no, this is enduring sorcery. We cannot wait to see things with our eyes. Our iman, if Rasulullah sallam said in the hadith, if Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, that is what we bring iman in. Al-Khuzaymah bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, very great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at his iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is once purchasing a horse. The deal is struck. It's only a matter of paying the money. The sale is concluded, done. It's just a matter to give the money. Rasulullah SAW tells the person selling the horse, come with me to my home, where I've got the money, and I'll give you the money now. They set off together. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking at a swifter pace. This person is lagging behind. And he's coming along with his horse. After a few moments, some people see the Bedouin walking with the horse, this person. They come to him and they say, "Are you selling this horse?" They did not know that the horse is already sold. Now this person starts thinking to himself, "Maybe I'll get a better deal over here." So he calls out to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "If you still want the horse, talk now, otherwise I'm selling it to these people." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, "What do you mean? You've already sold it to me." He says, "No, I never sold you anything." So Rasulullah sallam tells him, "No, the deal was done." So he turns around and says, "Where's your witnesses? There's no witnesses to verify what you are saying." In the interim, certain people observed this spectacle unfolding. They came forward. Among them was this sahabi, Hazrat Khuzaima bin Thabit radiallahu anhu. He asked, "What's the matter?" Rasulullah sallam said, "He bought the horse, this man denies it and says, bring your witnesses." He comes forward and says, "I bear testimony that Rasulullah sallam bought the horse." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him, "How can you testify that I bought the horse when you were not present to witness the transaction? You were not here at the time of the sale." He says, "O Nabi of Allah, I bring iman, every word coming out of your mouth is haq. If you say you bought the horse, you bought the horse. There's no two ways about it." Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallam were most pleased with the iman of the sahabi. And as a special virtue of the sahabi, his testimony was declared to be equivalent to the testimony and shahadat of two people in Shariat. We know the normal law in Shariat is if that a person brings a claim against another person, he has to bring two witnesses to court to establish that claim. But Rasulullah sallam said, this sahabi, he can come alone in place of two people. Nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made baddua that, "Oh Allah," he told this person, "if you are lying, then let you not have any barakat in this horse." For the remainder of the day, he tried to sell that horse. He could not sell it. He went home that night, the horse died. He woke up the next day, that horse was dead. But nevertheless, what we are speaking about today with the grace of Allah is that our iman is in the words of Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the importance of mentioning this is that in this day and age, we are bombarded with a lot of things that go against our fundamental teachings of Islam. And at times, they are substantiated with apparent proofs, which are so convincing that without realizing it, a person loses his iman. You look at I remember when we were in school, grade 4 child, the teacher is teaching him, you know, there's something Australopithecus, and then there's Homo erectus, and then you get Homo sapien. And they're teaching about fossils and teaching about archaeology. So this child in the morning is learning something called human evolution. That there was some type of ape, and then it became more advanced. It made taraki, it learned how to walk on two legs. Then it started using one, two tools. And then today it's flying a rocket. In the afternoon he's going to madrasa, and the Mawlana is telling him, Nabi Adam alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala created Nabi Adam alayhi salam. And this child is now, he got like a dual identity. In the morning he's talking one language, in the afternoon he's talking another language. And if it is not addressed, at times 40, 50 years later, this person still got doubts niggling in the back of his mind, which he's never asked anybody that, what's the story here, you know. He's been doubting his iman all these years. And this is not something I'm speculating, not a fairy tale. Rather, we get questions all the time. Coming to the Darul Ifta, we even get students coming and asking, you get laymen coming and asking, that, but Mawlana, tell me, but, when you hear that word, but, now you worry about this person's iman. So this is the need to emphasize that everything, whatever they may be saying, what does the Quran and Majid say? My iman is in the Quran. My iman is in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala created Nabi Adam alayhi salam in his adult form. And that is where entire mankind came from. And the hadith speaks about Allah Ta'ala creating the world in the 6 days. In the Quran and Majid, Allah Ta'ala speaks about that. That is that. Bas. My iman is in that. If this is such a critical, fundamental issue, if a person does not address it, especially with his young children, and the iman is not right, a person can lead his whole life without realizing that his iman is in jeopardy. So we make dua, Allah Ta'ala safeguard our iman, the iman of our children. Until the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala must keep our progenies with iman. And Allah Ta'ala must take us all from this world with perfect iman. آخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.